What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 242 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. It is going to be the first episode of 2022. We did take a couple weeks off to end the year. We took some time to stay with our families, to hang out, to just relax, chill, do all that stuff, play Destiny, but just for fun, not really having to talk about it. So we are coming back to you with a fantastic episode. It's been a little bit since we've done a weapons meta breakdown. So we're going to start the year off with a weapons meta breakdown, kind of give us a nice baseline moving forward into 2022, into Witch Queen, seeing what stuff changes, seeing what has changed since kind of the beginning of Season of the Lost. It's been several months at least since we've done one of these. And the last record I had was actually right around the beginning of Season of the Lost. So we're going to be comparing beginning of Season of the Lost to end of 2021. Talking about what everybody's using. But first, let's go ahead and get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Gacha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Mercules, I am doing pretty darn well. I feel like 2021, at least for me and mine, is coming to a strong close. You know, we've managed to stay healthy. And that's about all you can ask for, I think, that you and the people you care about have stayed healthy. And kept their lives on track this year. It has been a tough one. I know a lot of people have been less fortunate. And I feel very, very fortunate to be going into the new year where I'm at in life. So about all I can say about it. How about you, man?
Yeah, same. There's no better time than the holidays to really take a moment and step back and think about what you appreciate and what you're thankful for and everything. And a little bit of a retrospective Massive Breakdown Podcast, really thankful for the community that supports us, really thankful for all of you guys. You helped 2021, or you helped make 2021 our best year ever. And it's really not even close.
Yeah.
We've been doing this podcast for 5 years now, started in 2016, and we had never broken 200,000 before. And we actually not only broke 200,000 listens, but we broke 300,000 and then 310,000 listens, all the way up to a record. We hit 315,000 listens in 2021, which is absolutely incredible. We were fortunate enough to have Bungie stop by our show, for a little interview. That was groundbreaking for us. I mean, we spun up Beneath Twin Suns, which is a whole second podcast, which is now on its own feed. I mean, it is just really the Patreon reached all new heights. We are one of the most well-reviewed video game podcasts out there. Like it really, the Discord has taken off, and now the Discord's well over 1,000 members strong and a ton of really active people. It's kind of taken on a life of its own. And we even have a couple of projects in the works that we're really, really excited about for 2022 that you guys will be hearing about. So, I mean, really just
right.
a banner year for Massive Breakdown as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you, if you look back at the history of podcast and the community that's grown up around it, you know, if we look back, say 10, 20 years from now, this feels like a big turning point where things have just really blown up. We've started to get some publicity in a way that, you know, things just sort of happened organically, and we just really are truly, truly fortunate. So yeah, what better way to end one year and begin another than to say thank you to you, the listener. Just by clicking that play button, you are helping to make great things happen. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that probably leads us right into the housekeeping. We have a few more specific groups of people that we'd like to thank. So how's the Patreon news looking?
Okay, so we have... Well, we took a week off, you know, and anytime we take a week off, that means there's a good chance there's going to be a little bit of extra news. And so we have several thank yous to say this week to new patrons joining the crew. So without any further ado, let's say it. And we're going to go in chronological order by the date and time that they joined the patron here. So... big shout out and thank you and welcome to the following Guardians. Vaughn, thank you so much for your pledge. Chemical Pie, we appreciate you. And that's Pie, the number, not the food. Caller, thank you so much. I've already seen you in Discord. Really appreciate you jumping in there and being active. Perk, thank you for your pledge. Libble Squibble, thank you for allowing me to say that on the air in one of the top-ranked video game podcasts in the United States. Little squibble. I just want to say it again. It's just fun. I am Anthony X. Love it. Thank you so much for your pledge, Anthony. Appreciate the generosity. The Coming of Tan. Thank you for your pledge and support. That is seven new Guardians joining the patron crew. We hope to see all of you in the Patrons Lounge in Discord. If you've not yet connected to Discord, it's super easy to do. You'll get a special gold flare that lets everyone know that you are a patron, that you've gone above and beyond to support the podcast. It gets you access to that private group chat, which is just a little bit calmer than the Discord in general, which, as you mentioned, Mercules, is 1,000-odd people. So it gets pretty raucous at times in specific channels. And it's also a great place to to ask us questions, to connect with other people on the Patreon crew as well. Speaking of Discord, Destiny Science has been killing it of late. So much good work going on in there. I'm really looking forward to hopefully being able to get more of the research that Guardians are doing in our Destiny Science channel out to the public and share that knowledge with people, because I learn so much every time I scroll through, and I miss so much every day that I don't. Anyways, without further ado, every patron gets the gold flare. Some patrons, well, they go above and beyond to a level that it just blows our minds every single week that we record an episode. We look and they're still supporting us. We call them sponsors. And you'll recognize them in Discord with that burnt orange flare. So, thank you so much to the following Guardians for their incredible generosity. Askian Monk, Black Hammer Tech, Conquer King 420, Zen SoCal, Starscream S13, Binary Wolf, The Shazzle, Deacon, and A Solitary Bird. And without, I guess, spending any more time talking your ear off, I'm going to pass the mic over to you, Mercules, to say some thank yous to another group of Guardians that we love to hear
from. Don't we have a new sponsor coming in too? Aren't we technically a 10? Or did you read them out? Or do we have to wait until...
So we're recording this in 2021, so I can't officially record the thank you. You know what, though? I think in the spirit of the new year, the spirit of the holidays, we got to do it. We got to do it. I feel good about this one. Let's welcome our latest, and I was about to say latest and greatest, but they're all equal, so that doesn't quite work. Our latest and equally greatest sponsor, This Moment 23. Thank you so much for joining up. We really appreciate it. And with that, I will now pass the mic.
And remember, that's the final sponsor spot. So there'll be 10 sponsors, and that's it. It's the 9 and Zer is what we've decided to call them, because it's the 9 on Patreon, and then Zer is the one who contributes in his own special way. So thank you to all those sponsors. And there's also a second group of Guardians, or I guess I should say a third group of Guardians that we really, really appreciate. It's everyone who leaves us a review. You can actually leave reviews now on Spotify too, which is great. I don't know if you can leave reviews. You can leave ratings. You can leave a rating on Spotify. So definitely help us out. Throw a rating on Spotify. That's great. And then on Apple Podcasts, you can leave an actual review. So we're going to read out the review we got. It is from Lou F1979. He says, S-tier podcast, 5 stars. DMB is the highest category of Destiny-related podcast out there. The deep dives they take into weapon perks, stats, and build synergies is always well thought out and exceptionally researched. Doesn't matter if you're a complete novice or a D1 veteran, you will find something of value in every episode. Thank you very much for that review, Lou. Remember, if you guys would like to have your review read out with a personalized thank you, all you got to do is just leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We will pick it up. If you are international, please ping us in the Discord or hit me up on Twitter or something, because our aggregator does not update in live time. And it is possible we will not see it for several weeks. And I'm really happy too. Like I said, that Spotify is now getting rankings. And speaking of rankings, pretty proud of this, but we released our last episode of 2021 on December 17th. And on December 18th, we peaked on the Apple video game podcast charts at 46 out of all video game podcasts. There are over 10,000 video game podcasts out there. And on top of us setting records for Patreon and listener numbers for us, we actually broke into the top 50 of all video game podcasts right at the tail end of 2021. I couldn't be more proud of that. It is all thanks to you guys, the listeners, the people who support us, the people who review us, everything like that. Thank you guys so much. And with that, I think we can wrap up the housekeeping right at 10 minutes.
Love it. Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm actually going to have to go and rate us on Spotify myself. I haven't done that. I feel like that's okay to do. I like our show.
Hey, I left us a review on Apple Podcasts with both my own account and my fiance's account. So I think it's totally, totally fair.
Yeah. Gotta put in the work, right? Okay. So with all that said, let's set the housekeeping aside. Let's set the holidays spirit aside. Let's talk some hard numbers about what people are using in Destiny right now.
Yeah, if you're really interested, in the methodology behind what we do, you want to check it for yourselves. We go to Destiny Tracker, we go to their meta breakdown, we filter it by the competitive playlist, which is survival and trials lumped together. Now, what Destiny Tracker shows is not the live usage and kills numbers. It is like a 5-day rolling average. If you want to see the numbers for one specific day, then you have to actually inspect the weapon. That takes too long. So we just use the five-day rolling average. But it's close enough to give us a broad spectrum pass at what the weapon meta looks like. We've done a handful of these before. I think the last one we did was in September, October. But the numbers that we're going to be comparing to, we're using December 30th numbers, and we're comparing them back to the snapshot of the meta, or the rolling five-day average of the meta, for September 19th. So way, way back, kind of closer to the beginning of Season of the Lost. Now, as far as what we do, if a gun didn't exist back then obviously if it's now very popular, like Aes Luna, it's going to show as a huge change in rank, a huge change in usage, because the usage was zero, right? And that can throw these numbers off, but we'll try to call that out whenever something like that happens, so it doesn't totally just brutalize things, right? But what we're going to do is we're basically going to go down the list. We're going to talk about the top 100 weapons. We're going to talk about each and every archetype, or not archetype, I should say, each and every class of weapon, say where they reside, where they sit. We're going to talk about which ones are in the top 100, which ones are performing well, which ones are performing not so great. And we're just going to break it all down for you. And this is going to be the baseline that we set for 2022 moving forward in the run-up to Witch Queen. So, that being said, hey, Ketcha, you've got the list in front of you.
Yeah.
Well-sorted, color-coded. Spent a lot of time on this. Anybody wants it, hit me up in the Discord. I'll give you the list. It's very nice. I actually have records going all the way back to June 26th of these type of things. Looking at the meta breakdowns just as a whole, is there anything you're really, really surprised with? Is there anything that stuck out to you that you were like, wow, I didn't expect that, or that's totally predictable, I could have guessed from, I guess this is the post-December 7th patch meta.
So, that is a good question. Just rolling down the list here, I am a little surprised to see a lightweight shotgun at number 3. But that also lines up, I think, with a lot of what I've been seeing as I've been playing PvP lately. I've been seeing a lot of people really pushing very aggressive, disruptive movement very hard, and the lightweight shotgun plays right into that. That said, it's just not one of those things that we've seen in the past. I feel like that's a big change. I'm also somewhat concerned, I would say, to see LeMonarch continuing to climb the usage numbers. Quite handily, actually, quite aggressively for a bow. I think those would be the two things maybe that stand out to me, just looking at like the top 20. What about you?
Yeah, I'm also not super thrilled that LeMonarch is climbing, because as we know, if you've listened to this podcast long enough, pretty much everything that I love in the game, despite the fact that it is well off meta, eventually gets nerfed. Erentil, Fusion Rifles, Bastion, DMT, back before it actually became oppressive. Now, somehow, after nerfs, it is more oppressive. But yeah, everything I love eventually gets nerfed. So LeMonarch, very unfortunate, is not entirely surprising. I'm still going to use it until it does, but I've already got my backup. I've already got my backup loadout. I've been rocking Forerunner BXR a good bit. I'm pretty comfortable with that. I'm not sure it's a great Trials loadout, but it's a ton of fun for Iron Banner and Sixes. So kind of the thing that stuck out to me the most that I was really surprised with is if you look at almost all of the weapons added with the 30th anniversary patch, they are littered throughout the top 20, the top 25. It's really, really crazy how good all the guns are that they added. Yeah, look at this real fast. So Eye is Luna is number one. Then you've got Thousand Yard Stare at number 8. You've got Matador 64 at number 12. You've got BXR at number 16. And then you've got Gjallarhorn at 20. Like, that's crazy to me that a third of the top 20 are brand new weapons that they just added. And it's not like, a lot of times we'll see like a new weapon gets added and it finds its way into the top 100, right? It'll be sitting at 80 or at 60 or something like that. And you'll be like, oh, that's pretty interesting, especially the week following a patch, right? Because everybody gets the gun and they're equipping and they're trying to use it. But seeing those weapons in the top 20 and also seeing their kill percentages be very high, they're just effective guns. They're just very, very good guns. They gave us a ton of great loot, a ton of great loot with the 30th anniversary patch.
Yeah, it did. It really did. And I mean, you know, it starts off right off the bat, really, right? Like Eye of Luna up top, like, and I've used Eye of Luna a fair bit the last couple of weeks. It's really, really good. It's very, very good. So I'm not shocked at all to see it up top.
That should give us a good reason to talk about, I guess, the most popular archetype of weapon and the most popular class of weapon at all right now is hand cannons. Hand cannons make up, I believe, either 19 or 20 of the top 100 weapons. I mean, they're at rank 1, at 6, at 7, at 9, 12, 14, 18. So you have 7 hand cannons in the top 20. 7 hand cannons. The demise of the hand cannon is greatly exaggerated, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They just are the gun that cannot die. They're the little weapon that could. And they stay in the top 100 every single time we talk about the top 100. Hand cannons are the most prevalent, the most popular weapon every single time. I don't think it has ever not been so.
Yeah, and it seems very unlikely that it will ever be so. That they would ever be less than a core part of the meta of Destiny Sandbox. They're just so iconic, and the feel and the playstyle is intrinsic now to Destiny Sandbox.
So, hilariously, if you remove Eye of Luna from the mix, though, hand cannon usage has actually gone down overall, meaning a bunch of hand cannons have actually fallen down the rankings. But what has happened is it has basically all consolidated kind of up at the top. So a lot of other hand cannons, like you've got Dire Promise, which has fallen down, the normal Fatebringer, Igneous Hammer, the normal Palindrome, the Steady Hand, Sunshot, Fulpecula, Bottom Dollar, Judgment, like a bunch of hand cannons have like fallen down in the rankings. But then there's a handful of them right up at the top that have seen that usage climb precipitously. Time Lost Fatebringer has gone up immensely. Went from September, it was ranked 30th. Obviously, a lot more people have had the opportunity to get it now. It's now ranked 9. The usage has gone from a little over 1%, 1.03%, to 2.36%. More than doubled in usage. Obviously, Eye of Luna. Eye of Luna had no usage because it didn't exist back in the day. The usage for Eye of Luna is almost 6%. It's 5.94% usage, 6.21% of kills. there's been a massive consolidation of hand cannon users moving into basically like the two or three most popular models. The Last Word is another one. The Last Word used to be at 16. It's now at 7. Usage went from 1.82 to 2.71. Kills went from 2.18 to 3.22. We've talked about that before, but usually when you see a huge difference between usage and kills, it's an indicator that something may be overperforming a bit. I think the Last Word might be something they have to keep an eye on in the future, because usage, again, it's consolidating around those really, really strong, really, really potent weapons. I think it also might have been because one of our patron rewards was the Last Word. I think maybe people saw that and they were like, that looks cool. I'm going to use that weapon.
Yeah. It's a really good gun. That said, I've really struggled to put down IS Luna. I understand why it's at the top. The gun just has ridiculously good base stats. It's not hard to get your hands on a copy. It's a little harder to get your hands on a really good dueling role for it, like, you know, like something like rangefinder, moving target, maybe high cal and fast draw. But boy, when you do get that role, you just sort of like shoot at people and you get crits, and suddenly you're like, oh, I'm three tapping everyone. Feels really good. Feels really, really good. This has been my experience. It's just dumb how good that gun is. I'm concerned about IS Luna.
Well, I mean, IS Luna is just, it's a really good 140. I mean, that's what it is, right? Like, I don't think it's overpowered by any stretch of the imagination. I think, like you said, it's got good perks. We've talked about it. It's got good perks. It feels good. It's pretty easy to get. I think those combination of things, I shouldn't say pretty easy to get. It's easy enough to get. I think that combination of things is making it to where it's the go-to for a lot of people who are maybe struggling to get a good Time Lost Fatebringer, or maybe they were struggling to get a good Adept Palindrome. IS Luna kind of is like, well, just use me. So hand cannons, to nobody's surprise, still the most popular weapon. They were the most popular weapon in September. They're the most popular weapon now. Again, the difference is in September, there was kind of a wide gamut of hand cannons that were being used. There were a lot of 120s that were popular back then. Ace of Spades was super popular back then. Thorn was really popular back then. Those have kind of fallen off, and instead we now see like three powerhouses rising up to the top and just kind of sitting at the top of the rankings. Although, you know, Ace of Spades is still up there sitting at 6. It's not like it's really struggling that hard.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's what you have to expect. Ace of Spades is now competing with a really good legendary. And since Ace of Spades is eating that exotic slot, like, you know, when you've got another weapon in the same category that's at least as good, or at least comparably good, in terms of its just straight up 1v1 dueling potential, you know, you got to think, do I want to use my exotic slot on Ace of Spades, or is IS Luna good enough? I think for most people, IS Luna is good enough. So it really opens you up to bring some different exotics in your energy and power slots.
Yeah, and if you want to look at some of the other ones that are in the top right now, Crimson, still sitting up there. Kind of flat in terms of ranking. The usage has gone down a bit. Crimson's another one of those guns that is sneakily very, very effective. The usage is 1.8%. The kills, 2.18%. Crimson's good. Crimson is very, very good, especially on controller. I think a lot of people underestimate how powerful it is, but that exotic perk is not to be shrugged off. I really, it's hard to say people are sleeping on a gun that's in the top 15, but I really still to this day, and with a damage boost, it can two tap so easily. I really feel to this day like people are still sleeping on how good Crimson is.
I think if you can fairly reliably get high energy fire going, Crimson becomes an absolute monster. Or, you know, comparable damage perks if you're, say, a warlock with a rift. Personally, I feel like Crimson is almost a little overhyped right now. If you don't reliably have those damage perks, I think it's not I think it's not as hard to beat as I've heard some people say. I think that, you know, there are guns that are just better options that aren't exotic. But most of those guns would go by the names Ice Luna, Ace of Spades. So I'm not really like saying it's a long list. I'm just saying every time somebody talks about Crimson, they're like, oh, it's so good. It's so good. And I'm just like, it's pretty good. I feel like it really needs damage boosts to make it truly, truly monstrous. And when you get those, if you can get them even unreliably, it's very effective. Well, and it's a great cleanup. And like you said, the exotic perk is strong.
Well, I don't think it needs damage boost. It needs damage boost to make it be able to compete time to kill wise. But where Crimson is really strong is the amount of flinch that it deals to your opponent makes it very hard to hit your optimal TTK when you are dueling a Crimson, if they are hitting their crits. Crimson is something that requires a lot of accuracy and requires probably a little bit more skill to use than people want to give it credit for. At a high level, at a Iron Banner level, you can kind of just spam those shots and it's fine. At a high level, if you're hitting your crits, you will be flinching the other person. It is very hard to hit your optimal TTK, especially with like a pulse rifle or something, which has a burst. Because if you get flinched off in the middle of a burst in a pulse rifle, something like a messenger, you're screwed against the Crimson. Crimson's going to shred you.
Right. Yep. I think, and maybe that's where my opinion on it differs a little bit, is I feel like it's not as easy to make it effective as I guess I feel like it's sometimes sold as being very easy for it to be good. I think that's not the case. But anyway, nonetheless, we can agree it's a solid weapon and it's earned its spot.
Other hand cannons, Hawkman, still in the top 30. Pretty much staying flat. We already talked about some of the others that have kind of fallen out. I don't know that we want to spend the time going through every single hand cannon. I feel like we've done that all the time. People could probably guess off the top of their head the next 10 hand cannons. So we got to move on. If we're looking at all the rest of the top 10, you can probably guess which weapon class is going to be in second place.
What pairs best with a hand cannon but a shotgun?
And man, shotguns just filling out the rest of the top five almost. The 2, 3, and 4 ranks are all shotguns. Fellwinter's Lie, seemingly invincible. Usage has gone down a little bit. Kills have gone down a little bit. Actually, kills have gone up a little bit. Usage has gone down a little bit. My mistake. Seventh Seraph, massively. I actually had to look at this because I was like, why is Seventh Seraph? Why is that spiking? And on December 17th, it looks like someone did something, but the usage went from 1% all the way up to 4%. And it slowly like trailed down a little bit since then. So maybe someone put out a video about it. Maybe a streamer is using it.
I will say it's a great option to pair with Ice Luna specifically. So, you know, that could have something to do with it. People got tired of running Fellwinters. They thought, oh, what can I run that will support a highly mobile playstyle? Well, a lightweight shotgun would do that in a pinch. And Seventh Seraph is one of the few energy lightweights that a lot of people are likely to have. And those that have hung on to a good role, I think, are well positioned right now. So not super surprised to see it from that point of view, I guess. Looking at what it's likely to be matched up with. But then for people who are using other weapons, the Chaperone coming in at number 4, we've been talking about how good the Chaperone is for years. And it's I think it's one of those guns that has taken quite a while to really gather steam and for people to come around on it. But as other weapons have been nerfed, easier weapons to use perhaps, it's gained a lot of ground.
Yeah. Much to my chagrin, because everybody is like, oh, the Lamonarch sucks. It's horrible to play against. It's like, ugh. I've been annoyed with Chaperone for years at this point with how much ridiculous aim assist it has. And still I hear more people crying about Lamonarch and other such things than the Chaperone. So hopefully Chaperone gets tuned. Hopefully that's something that's coming with Witch Queen. Shotguns in general, making up 17 of the top 100. So between shotguns and hand cannons, you've got, was that 37 of the top 100 weapons are just shotguns and hand cannons. Really, really still very, very clearly a shotgun hand cannon meta. Yeah, the Seventh Seraph just skyrocketing upwards, but it's not just the Seventh Seraph. I mean, usage in shotguns has gone up almost a full percent. Kills in shotguns have actually gone up over 2%, which is quite a large jump. So I think with the relegation of abilities to less of engagement leaders for a lot of people, shotgun effectiveness has kind of gotten a buff by proxy.
Now, by abilities, do you mean Shatter Dive?
Shatter Dive, definitely not as good now as it once was.
People are a little less scared to just rush at you with that insane look in their eyes.
I can say that I have been less effective at countering shotgunners without Shatter Dive in my back pocket. So shotgunners definitely have a little bit of an easier time against me, which bothers me.
Yeah. You know, it has, I will say that this meta has encouraged me to move to another hard counter to shotgun rushers, but we'll talk about that when we get to it.
Yeah. Going over, we talk about difference between usage and kills, chaperone, 3.1% usage, 3.3% kills. Maybe a little bit of an outlier right there. And in terms of new weapons, we also see Matador 64 making the climb. Obviously, 0% usage last time. Sitting at 2.2% usage in the top 15 at number 11. 2% of the kills. So Matador 64 climbing up there. Even the Wastelander M5 is up at 31. Obviously, didn't exist before. Now has almost a full percent of the usage and about 0.84% of the kills. Kind of nice to see some new blood in there. Even if it's not cracked the top 10 yet, it's nice to see it in at least the top, you know, the top 20 and the top 30.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to see some variety in the kill feed. That's what I'll say on that front. I've definitely been getting killed by shotguns a lot. But it hasn't been that situation where it's just Felwinter's Lie, Felwinter's Lie, Felwinter's Lie. There have been a lot of names popping up in there. Occasionally, I'm like, hey, wait, what is that gun? I don't remember that shotgun. So it's, you know, trying to find the silver lining, I guess, is what I'm doing. But yeah, there are a lot. There are a lot of shotguns in the top 20 and the top 100 totally. I don't know. Do we want to? I don't think we need to call. You know what I'm a little surprised about is that Reese Walker isn't higher. For people that love the lightweights, I'm a little surprised not to see that shotgun in the top 20. And it was number 6 in September, and it seems to have been entirely replaced. And I don't know if I have to lay that at the feet of the just really good primary kinetic weapons that we have, or what the cause would be. But
yeah, speaking of things that are a little bit of a surprise, Dead Man's Tail has rocketed back up into the top 5, sitting at the number 5 slot now. It was all the way down at 27 back in September after that nerf. I'm thinking maybe the buff to accuracy might not have necessarily been needed. There was a long period of time after the nerf when we were like, guys, Dead Man Tail is still good. Like, it's still good. And I don't think people really believed it until it got just the teeny tiniest little nerf. And that was enough to get people to try it again. And they were like, oh, wait, this is really good. And it's the only scout rifle that is represented in the top 50.
Dead Man's Tail is an absolute beast of weapon. It's probably right now, I would say, my second favorite kinetic primary after Luna. It's just so good. And with charge with light, it two taps. Like, you know, what do you want? So yeah, it's really not at all surprising to me that it's back.
And kills are way over usage. 3% kills, 3.5 or 3% usage, 3.5% kills. The rest of the scout rifles, man, that make up the top 100. Mida multi-tool. I think probably everybody can agree that that's the second best scout rifle. Contingency plan, which does have some really fun roles and is a pretty effective weapon in the right hands. Servant leader, the scholar down there at 87, night watch down there at 97. It's not pretty. The scout rifles do not make up a high percent of usage. They are 4% of usage. And about 4.75 or 4.25% usage, 4.75% of the kills. You want to compare that to handcannons? What do you think? What do you think? I mean, it's not fair. I'm asking you, but you have the spreadsheet in front of you. What do you think the hand cannon usage is?
I'll pretend I don't know.
25.55%, 26.74%. And then let's talk shotguns. The shotgun usage is 20.35% and 18.77% of kills. So shotguns and hand cannons combine for 37 of the top 100, and they combine for almost 45% of usage, and scout rifles are down at 4%.
Yeah. And most scout rifles, these are small numbers, so it's hard to draw a firm conclusion, but by and large, the difference between the percentage of usage and the percentage of kills is very small, but the kill percentage is usually a bit lower than the usage percentage, unless it's Mida or Dead Man's Tale, which I think maybe tells you that if you're using a scout rifle, or if you really want to use a scout rifle, consider one of the exotics.
And we have had people argue before that kill to usage comparison is not like a super, super great way to say something's overpowered. And they're correct. It's not.
Yeah,
it's not. Just a general way. Just because something has more kills than its usage doesn't mean that it's overpowered. It could mean that only good players use it. If right. only good players use it, then it's always going to have more kills than it will have usage, right? So it's not an indicator of overpoweredness, but I generally think it's a rough indicator of effectiveness. Because usually if only good players are using it, then it's because it's effective.
Right. Yeah. So I think to some extent, it's not what I would consider a scientific measure. Because we just don't have enough data. We don't have Bungie's databases to go in and look at, what are the skill rankings of the people choosing to use this weapon? How do different skill rankings do with it? Mm-hmm. We have to have somebody on the show to answer those questions for us, and maybe we will again. But in the meantime, what we can go off of is how many people use it, how many kills in a given period are made with it. And, sometimes that tells you things. Gives you a hint, at least.
And if you thought that the reason people weren't using scout rifles is because they didn't like to play long range, well, at number 8, we have a sniper rifle. It's actually 1,000-yard stare. This is another one of the instances of a lot of consolidation at the top. So 1,000-yard stare is brand new, just came into the game. It's already up at number 8. 1,000-yard stare has basically absorbed a ton of usage from Adored, Frozen Orbit, and Eye of Soul, which were previously the three highest sniper rifles at 11, 23, and 13, respectively. They have all fallen now. Adored is down to 13. Frozen Orbit's down from 23 to 28. Eye of Soul is down from 13 to 29. 1,000-yard stare has pretty much absorbed all that usage. Sniper rifle usage has actually gone up from 8.5% back in September to 9.8% now. Kills have gone up from 7.5 to 8.7. I think a lot of that comes down to, again, with abilities being less prevalent and less potent, special weapons have kind of shifted back to the forefront. I've noticed a lot more people complaining about the amount of special ammo, which didn't seem so bad when there were a lot of abilities that could shut specials down. But now without those abilities, specials seem like they're running rampant again, and snipers are no exception. So snipers more than doubling the usage of scout rifles. And their usage, again, climbing a little bit.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed more people attempting to main and lane with snipers. So it's, yeah. The changes to abilities are having widespread ripple effects throughout the meta and the choices that people are making. That's something always to bear in mind. You know, when things like that go into effect, trying to figure out what's going to be the best choice for you is a work in progress. Yeah, boy.
And if we're talking about special weapons, we would be remiss if we didn't hit on fusion rifles. Fusion rifles, we are not counting Vex Mythic Class in this. I am counting Vex Mythic Class. I have removed it from my part of the spreadsheet. Should have done it before I sent it to you. I've removed it from my part of the spreadsheet. I've changed the type to an auto rifle and filtered it out. Because I was looking, I was like, wow, fusion rifle usage has dropped. That doesn't make sense. And then I realized it was because Vex Mythic Class usage has dropped off precipitously. Fusion rifles, man, main ingredient, just an unbelievable monster. That Zer roll has locked main ingredient firmly into the top 10. It is, I believe, the first time a fusion rifle has cracked the top 10 that wasn't an exotic. I think Bastion did it for a little bit. I think Telesto probably did it during one of its times when it's been broken as hell. But holy crap, main ingredient, a legendary fusion rifle sitting in the top 10. You want to talk about kills over usage. This might be the most busted one that we have in the top 20. Usage 2.3%, kills 3.14%. I have never in my entire life asked for a fusion rifle to be tuned down. But I think main ingredient might be a little too hot. Again, I think a lot of that is tap the trigger. I think the tap the trigger perk is just making it function way outside its intended range. But especially if stuff like, you know, if Chaperone comes down or anything like that, main ingredient's going to have to get looked at because it is really, really, really exceptionally strong.
It's very good right now. It really is. I say that as someone who has chosen to respond to the sudden increase in shotguns, not by joining them for once, but by running a Cartesian coordinate, which is a little further down. It's currently rank 52. It's moved up a little bit from 60 back in September. It's in that rapid fire class, and boy, I feel like it really shuts down the vast majority of rushers. Their movement has to be on point to evade my Cartesian. But if there is one thing that I fear when I'm running that gun, it's a main ingredient. Because it just maps me from too far away. I can't, you know, they come around the corner pre-charged. I can't fight them with my primary. I'm too far to get them with Cartesian. I've got no counterplay for that except to avoid them.
You just take the L in that case.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is.
What's so disappointing about main ingredient being so high up, and even in my opinion being a little on the strong side, is that you have to go all the way down to 50, or sorry, to 49 at null composure to see another real fusion rifle. You got Jotun sitting at 22. You got Jotun sitting at 22. And that's not really a real fusion rifle, let's be real.
Jotun is super effective right now, though, too. I think the drop in abilities has made people a little less cautious in some ways. Jotun is so good for punishing people who are not being cautious.
Jotun is hilariously strong. I shouldn't say strong. Hilariously fun. Hilariously fun. I really, really enjoy using that gun.
Yeah. Then Null Composure. Then Glacioclasm. Still got some holdouts there.
Which, let's be real, a lot of this is probably because the Dawning is happening right now and a lot of people are using it. I have the worst luck with Glacioclasm. I am still grinding these packages out. I have probably had 80 Glacioclasms. I have not even gotten two out of the five perks in my perfect roll yet. It is bad. I have really, really bad luck with this, and it's very frustrating at this point.
See, I'm actually chasing it too. And all I can get is Avalanche.
Seriously, I got a lot of Avalanches.
My rolls are like 4 out of 5, they're Avalanches. It's the most disheartening thing.
I did get the PvE roll. I got a Subsistence one. I got a SlideWiz one.
Yeah, there you
go. I tested it out. I like SlideWiz more. Huh? I thought that I would. I knew that I would. It's actually really fun for PvE. Now, all that being said, I wish the high impacts got like a little bit of a buff. I don't know if it's damage buff or a little bit of a charge time buff, but I think that as they stand right now, they're a little on the weak side. You know, I think rapid fires are about as good as they've ever been. I think rapid fires in the right hand are extremely potent weapon. I think high impacts, the risk just isn't worth the reward at the current moment.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be having to chase a 5 out of 5 roll just to get a functional high impact. Right?
You know, the high impacts had a long time in the sun, though, being the best fusion rifle archetype for years. So I think it's not unreasonable to let some other archetypes have a couple of months at least. Main ingredient, boy, it's definitely a thing though right now. What else do we have? That we've got, Plug One is still sitting up there, and then the usual suspects: Telesto, Bastion, and of course the Arbalest, which I think. I think Arbalest might actually be worth a second look right now.
We'll throw Arbalest in when we talk linear fusions, because we are going to get to those at some point on their own. Altogether, fusion rifles making up like 6.66% of the usage, 8% of the kills. So fusion rifles as a whole, leaning on the effective side, but let's be real, that's pretty much just main ingredient. None of the rest of them are really dramatically over effective comparatively, at least not for the usage.
Right. Yeah. Rapid fires, I feel like a lot of people get one kill with them and then that's it. I think you have to really lean hard into that playstyle and spend a lot of time with them. Because when I first started using them after the changes, I thought they were trash. And I was so wrong. But that took me a solid month of just like slogging through pain to really start to get good. So
yeah. And then if we're creeping down the list of the top 100, you got to go all the way down to 15 to get something that's not a special weapon, a hand cannon, or DMT basically. And it's Le Monarch. Probably not the best sign for Le Monarch that it is one of the highest rated primary weapons. That's not a hand cannon.
Yep.
Usage has climbed pretty well. It was at 1.16% usage back in September. It's at 1.68% now. Kills have climbed along with it. 1.27% kills back in the day, 1.75% now. If you look at the kills to usage, it's not wildly different. I would imagine that's because a lot of people are blinting with it and they're swapping off after they've primed a target. It's actually not the only bow represented. Wishender has actually crept up into the top 100, sitting down at the 95 slot by some miracle. Usage hasn't actually really gone up, but due to the way the consolidation works, it kind of just falls into the top 100 as people consolidate the weapons above it. Wolftone Draw was previously in the top 100, has now fallen precipitously and is out. And that's pretty much it for bows. Bows might be one of the least used weapon classes in the game, sitting at a little under 2% usage, 1.98% usage. 1.68 of that is Le Monarch.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say about bringing a bow to a gunfight. If you're going to do it, make sure it's a space magic poison bow.
And you've really specced into it pretty hard.
Yes. And you're wearing your magic arm braces that allow you to hold that indefinitely. Le Monarch's really good. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's a very, very strong weapon. A lot of ways to turn it into a one-tap primary. And people are catching on.
Yeah. Talking about primary weapons, pulse rifles, I don't know what has happened to them. A lot of people were scared we were entering like a messenger high impact pulse meta, and it just did not pan out. pulse rifles have just across the board taken a dive. I don't know if Eyes Luna has sucked up some of their usage. I know there's been a lot of people swapping over to the BXR, the Battler, and that has hurt the Messenger. But the Messenger was the number 4 weapon back in September. It is now down at 17. Usage has fallen by more than half. It was at 3.6% usage. It's at 1.5% usage now. It was almost 4% of the kills. It's 1.6% of the kills now. Some of that is the usage has gone up on the Adept version of the Messenger. So I would imagine that some people are swapping over to that. You know, if you combine those two, it's at 2.3% usage, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but that would be kind of high up there, right? 2.3% puts it at
probably 12.
Number 12. So it's still up there, but it's definitely nowhere close to what it was before. I'm pretty sure before it was very nearly number 1 when you added the Adept and the Legendary stuff together. It was over 4% of the usage. So Messenger has fallen off, but it's not just Messenger. No Time to Explain is down from 21 to 37, usage falling by almost 50%. Vigilance Wing, 28 to 44, usage again falling by 40%. Darkest Before, from 9 to 48, usage falling immensely from 2.36% to 0.57%. Legal Action, Outbreak Perfected, Time Worn Spire, Forge's Pledge, Grid Skipper, all were in the top 100 in September, all have fallen entirely out of the top 100. I don't know what it is that has happened to pulse rifles. It might be Forerunner kind of works in their range. People are using that. It might be a consolidation into hand cannons. It might be they're swapping over to sniper rifles. But pulse rifle usage has fallen from 10.5% in September to 6.6% now. Kills have fallen from 11.72% of the kills to 6.73% of the kills. That might be the biggest single loss for any weapon class, I think.
Yeah, I will say it really feels like a much more aggressive meta has shaken out than what we had when we last discussed this. There was, you know, not that you can't play aggressively with the Messenger, but it is a pulse rifle that rewards you for aiming down sights and not really moving while you're shooting. You know, and that's all of the high impacts that you mentioned there. And I think what we're seeing is that although the potential reward is still very high for players who can reliably pull it off, at least in this current meta, the rewards for just aping like it's your job are apparently high enough that people are just not sticking with that that longer range primary playstyle.
Continuing on down the list, kind of an interesting one here, sitting at number 20. I don't think anyone would have guessed this. Gjallarhorn.
Yeah.
Now, this is 20 in usage only. The usage is at 1.28%. The kills is much further down at 0.71%. But I got to say that is probably the highest a heavy weapon has been in quite some time in the usage numbers. I think it's new. It's actually very effective in PvP. Actually, like, frustratingly effective in PvP. And yeah, everybody's rocking it.
I definitely run it when I'm not using an exotic elsewhere, because people can't escape it. Those rockets just don't miss. Or if they miss, then the Wolfpack takes care of it.
Yeah, I think pretty much what we've seen is there's just been a mass exodus of people who were previously using the Wardcliff coil.
Yeah.
And they've just swapped over to Gjallarhorn, basically. You've got Ascendancy at 40. It's pretty much flat. Usage has gone up a little bit, but it's pretty much flat in terms of rankings. Tomorrow's Answer and Bad Omens have both climbed their way into the top 100. They're sitting very low. Don't get it wrong. Bad Omens is at 90. Tomorrow's Answer is at 85. Wardcliff Coil has fallen from 46 to 64, with usage falling by, you know, a good bit, about, let's see, it went from 0.53 to 0.35. And then Ascendancy, like I said, is flat. Galahorn, obviously brand new. So pretty fun to see a rocket launcher that high up, even though it's probably more of like a gimmick than it is anything else. And then we keep going down the list. Lorentz Driver hasn't even really gotten that much of anything done to it. But the usage has just slowly and steadily decreased. As other special weapons have become more popular, Lorentz Driver has not been able to keep up. Back in September, it was at number 12. The usage was at 2.16%, kills was at 2.41. The usage is down to 1.25%, kills 1.52. Lorentz Driver's kind of taken a hit, hasn't it?
It really has. I think a lot of people, when they saw those nerfs come through, sort of moved on just immediately and never looked back. That said, you know, it's still a solid weapon in the right hands. And I feel like it's one of those guns that isn't that difficult to master. I shouldn't say master, to get good enough with to be effective. And that's true, I think, as well of Arbalest. The special linear fusions, I mean, they're viable. They're viable weapons. That's why all linear fusions that aren't sleeper should be special weapons, because then we would use them. But yeah, you know, I think it still is pretty decent. But why do you want to pick that over a sniper? Maybe the aim assist, but if you're good at sniping, then you're not going to choose Lorentz. Mm-hmm. And that's the play style that it leans into. And it's an exotic, so there's a lot of guns that you might want to use with it that you can't pair with it. And it's special, so you can't have a close-range special weapon. A lot of points against it.
Yeah. Arbalest, meanwhile, has somehow climbed back up the rankings just a little bit, from 90 to 56. Still not universally popular, but I think probably some people are forgetting they have it equipped when they're playing PvE content, and then they're swapping over to control and they still have it. But linear fusion usage has fallen pretty heavily. They're down around bows in terms of usage numbers. They were at 2.67%. The majority of that, of course, was Lorentz Driver. Now they're at 1.83%. Kills was 2.8. Now it's 2.08. Reed's Regret, it was actually in the top 100 last time we did this. It was at 70, and it's fallen all the way out of the top 100 now. So linear fusion rifles, not really super popular. Snipers gaining in popularity. Fusion rifles gaining in popularity. Shotguns. Linear fusion rifles falling down the special weapon usage charts.
They are. And speaking of weapons that have been falling down the charts, some machine guns had a much more significant presence in September. At least a couple of them did. And they have definitely taken a tumble. Shire's Wrath, Adept, and the regular, sitting at 24 and 25 right now. Or, I'm sorry, 23 and 24 right now. They were 17 and 14 back in September. So their usage has come down significantly. Now, added together, they are still at 2.44%, which still puts them in the top 10, if you consider them as a single weapon. Shire's Wrath is very, very good, but it's on the decline in popularity, at least at this point in time. And I have to think that we can probably lay that a bit at the feet of a lot of people running shotguns and not pairing them with SMGs, and also a lot of people running fusion rifles, which is a great way to shut down most SMGs.
And there's been a reversion to the 900 RPMs a little bit. Multimach has seen a climb in usage.
That's true.
A pretty significant climb in usage. Coldfront, even though Coldfront is absolute trash, has also seen a climb in usage. That's probably mostly because it's new and people are trying out different roles. What's really surprising to me is that Terraba is still so far down the list. And Terraba is absolutely one of the guns that I believe is wildly effective, and just nobody uses it. If you look at the use-kill split, right, The usage is 0.16. The kills is 0.21. That doesn't seem like a lot until you look at what percentage it is. That's a 31% difference, right? When you look at every single weapon in the top 100 and you sort them by the percentage, not by the actual split, right? There are only three weapons more effective or that are that have a bigger percent difference between kills and usage. And it's Rat King, which is hilarious. Main Ingredient, which we've already talked about. And actually Sweet Business, which is very, very weird that Sweet Business is up there. I think that's mostly because people are memeing on it and they're like six-man fire teams all using Sweet Business. But Terraba is very, very strong. And it's like way down at like 96 right now.
I'm not going to lie. I think I must be part of the group that's undervaluing it because I just forget that gun exists.
Apparently most people do.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got nothing. I actually did get killed by it the other day.
When you can get Ravenous Beast up, it is like pre-nerf Recluse with Ravenous Beast up. It is so strong.
It was the first time I'd seen it in my kill feed. So, ever. So,
talking about full auto weapons, got to go all the way down to 30 to find something that we haven't talked about, to find an auto rifle. It's not really an auto rifle, but it is an auto rifle. It's Vex Mythic Class. Man, it has not been doing super well since the nerfs, which I don't think anyone's really upset about. Usage back in September was 5.52%. It was at number one. It is now 0.96%, not even making up 1% of the usage. It has fallen. The kills was at 7%, 7.1% in September, 1.12% now. So Vex Mythic Class just topples down the charts. Suras Regime, though, not quite making up for it, but Suras Regime is climbing. So the buff did convince a few people to play with it. It was at 71 back in September. It's at 41 now. 0.29% usage now to 0.69 giggity. 0.34% kills, 0.85% kills now. Congrats to Suras Regime. It's been a long time since I think people have dusted off their Suras.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of those guns I think that is also a bit of an icon in Destiny's history. It's been around for a very long time in one form or another. It's kind of good to see it out there. I was not convinced by the buff personally. I think I'm going to stick with leaving Suras in my vault for the moment. But it was good to see it get some love, and I'm glad that people are enjoying it.
Other auto rifles not doing so hot.
No.
Auto rifle usage has toppled. Still much more used than bows and things, but they're kind of around scout rifle usage. Auto rifle usage was 8.85%. That's not entirely fair because 5.5% of that was Vex Mythic Class back in September. But now it's 3.62%. Kills was 10.7%. Again, Vex Mythic Class was 7% of that. Now it's 4.08%. We've had a couple of big losers too. Chroma Rush just continues to fall out of people's mind. It was 36 before, it's 60 now. Gnawing Hunger was 45 before, it's 63 now. Monte Carlo was 66, it's 99, and the Summoner and the Last Breath both fell out of the top 100. Actually, I think the Summoner is technically still there. I think it's at 100 exactly. So auto rifles not having the best time of it. Auto rifles, SMGs, it seems like both groups of users have potentially switched over to maybe the last word, but shotguns and fusion rifles.
Yeah, we are definitely seeing what happens kind of in the late season post-sandbox update, where the meta starts to shake out and then consolidate. And we are, I think, really moving into what's going to be a pretty strong consolidation mode here until we get new guns and new sandbox updates.
Now, Forerunner was much maligned. People were sure that Forerunner was going to break the sandbox. It was going to ruin everything. It was going to mess up trials. Kind of much ado about nothing. It's all the way down here at 36. It is absolutely not what anybody would consider game breaking, at least not at this point. It is, unfortunately, the highest of the sidearms by a pretty wide margin. Its usage is 0.79%, and that's not even that great. Kills is 0.82%. Peace Bond was previously the winner for the sidearms. That has fallen from 38 to 71. Drang brings it up at 81. Then you've got Traveler's Chosen at 86 and Rat King at 89. So the sidearms kind of consolidated in the 70 to 90 range, with the exception of Forerunner. Their usage has stayed mostly flat. It's gone up a little bit. They were 1.31% prior. They're 1.68% now. 1.23% of kills, 1.87% of kills now. So sidearms kind of stayed flat, maybe went up a little bit. I think a lot of that is Forerunner. The problem with Forerunner and why it's never going to be broken is because it takes special ammo and it's not a one-shot kill weapon. If you were in Trials, where everything is based around getting a pick, why would you use a special weapon that requires you to hit three crits when you could use a sniper that kills you in one?
Yep.
Right. They operate at similar ranges. Really, we should be counting Forerunner as a scout rifle, like a more so than we should a sidearm. But I think a lot of people freaked out about it. And when the time came to pass, it actually wasn't really that big of a deal.
Yeah. If it was primary ammo, it would absolutely be a problem, I think. But it's not. And that's all there is to it.
So what does that leave us with? That leaves us with grenade launchers. Man, have not heard a bunch about grenade launchers. And that's because not a ton of people are using them. Wither Horde is actually the most popular grenade launcher right now. I think my experience in the Crucible would suggest that that is true.
Yes, I can also verify that there is, in fact, a Wither Horde in an annoying amount of my lobbies.
And it's only really at 53. Usage is 0.48%. Apparently, they're all playing with you and no one else. Kills is 0.37%, so not even really super effective.
They sure were the other day, I'll tell you that.
We got Salvager Salvo at 80. Truth Teller and Ignition Code have both fallen out of the top 100. As far as heavy weapons go, you got Memory Interdict at 66. Not doing super bad. Usage is actually up on that a little bit, which I find surprising. Not that it really matters. But being a heavy weapon, the kills are always down low. So grenade launchers, 1.31% of the usage, 1.26% of the kills. Even less than bows, somewhat surprisingly. So if you hate grenade launchers and you never want to see a grenade launcher meta, you should be pretty happy right now, because we are about the furthest thing from a grenade launcher meta that I think we've ever been.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone was actually worried about that, but don't be.
For anyone who was thinking that we had missed machine guns, we have not. There are actually no machine guns in the top 100 at all. There's corrective measure, which previously was at 93, back in September, has totally fallen out of the top 100. No machine guns in the top 100 at all. So those, doesn't matter what buffs they got with the last balance patch, it was all PvE focused, definitely has not helped PvP. Machine guns are not a favored heavy weapon in PvP at all. And then there's one sword in the top 100, Half-Truths, sitting up at 58 right now. So as far as heavy weapons go, it seems like the only thing people want is Gjallarhorn, or Ascendancy, or Wardcliffe Coil, or Memory Interdict, and nothing else.
Yeah, I can't hold that against people. I'm always a little both disappointed and not disappointed that the Colony never makes a comeback. Gun is so fun, but it'd be terrible if it was meta.
There was a time where that was a scourge, and very, very early D1, you would hear that thing launch as soon as people got heavy ammo, and you're just like, oh, fuck no, the Colony.
Yeah. Yeah, you start bunny hopping everywhere, trying to dodge them. I don't know. It's a different world. But yeah, that's the meta. That's the shakeout. Hand cannons, shotguns, or fusion rifles, and rocket launchers.
Hand cannons, shotguns, snipers, fusion rifles, rocket launchers. If you want to run the most meta of meta loadouts, then you got to pick something there. Pulse rifles falling off. Scout rifles never really popular outside of DMT to begin with.
Yeah, dead man's tail. Got to throw it in there as the one just sort of by itself.
Let's see. SMGs falling down. Auto rifles kind of falling down a little bit. Linear fusions falling down. It's like you said, it's that late season grouping at the top of people have discovered what the most effective things are, and they're pretty much using them. And it's shaken out the way it seems to always shake out, which is hand cannon shotgun.
Yeah. So. You know, ultimately, the reversion to the mean is perhaps the most predictable thing about the Destiny sandbox. unless Bungie makes some really dramatic changes that actually like make hand cannons not just okay, but bad. This is just where we're going to end up. It is what it is.
They deal the most flinch. They deal huge chip damage, and they have in-air accuracy, and you can peak shoot with them.
Yeah. It's not super complicated what makes them good.
And they have the most aim assist. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that is it. Thank you for joining us on our first episode of 2022. We hope you enjoyed the meta breakdown. This is the baseline we're going to be working from moving forward in 2022, moving into the Witch Queen. Hopefully we get a bunch of fun stuff that shakes it up. And that's all I got. You got anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's it. Happy New Year, everybody. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you next week. Bye. Ooh, actually, we will see you Monday for Beneath Twin Suns episode on Boba Fett.
Hey.
Because episode one, chapter one released, and we both watched it. I've now watched it a second time and really enjoyed it. So we're going to be talking about that. And we're going to be doing, I think we might be doing weekly episodes moving out. We'll have to see how that goes. But we're going to be trying to break down Book of Boba Fett as it releases.
Yeah. Very excited for my second watching of the episode, actually. Looking forward to it.
All right, guys. See you Monday. Bye.